It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
All right, everybody, let's do this. It's time for your latest Blues NHL podcast. We're coming to you from our favorite barbecue place in St. Louis, Adam's Smokehouse. Very excited about the show today as we're going to announce our contest involving our friends here at Adam's Smokehouse along with everybody's favorite fan caveman, Dennis Minner, from his Live from Minner Arena segments, which we'll have for you a little bit later in the show. But also, as most of you have seen on Twitter already, I had to feed the so you got to feed the talent before you can get anything out of the talent. So I had to bring everybody's favorite, Jamie Rivers, to Adam's Smokehouse to get his feedback on.
Yeah, I tell you what, like, I'm stuffed. It's like it's nap time now. We're going to have to pump a Red Bull into me here or something, but I'm ready to roll over, have someone scratch my belly, and go to sleep after all this.
I mean, to tell you, like, you didn't mess around either. Like, normally, like, when I bring somebody here, they're like, yeah, I'll have this, have this. You ordered to go. Like, you had a I mean, I know how you operate now. So, you know, it was, I'll take a plate, and then I want that to go. I mean, you weren't messing around. Well, it's that good, though.
I don't live close to here, so it's not often, unfortunately, that I get to pop in here. But when I do, I know exactly what I like and what I love from here, which is the brisket. So if you haven't had the brisket ever at Adam's Smokehouse, you got to go in. You get the sides and all that, but the brisket, to me, especially to go, they put a little bit of juice in there. You take it home and almost take a bath in
like
it later.
You were excited about it. You know what I mean? Like, you were not messing around. You were like, brisket, and I want the juice in it. You were not messing around. So
little did I know we had Chris Weidman's uncle in here.
Yeah, so small world.
How unbelievable is that?
And then, unbelievable. So Chris Weidman's uncle works here, and then not 5 minutes ago, another person that recognized you from family.
Yeah, usually that's people that I owe money to. But
I was going to say, I was trying to figure out what the deal was there. But, well, you know, the reason for the show today, folks, and listen, some people have also brought up, hey, we're jonesing for a show, we're jonesing for a show. We've had everything from this respiratory flu thing going around to some stuff going on at Lineup Studios. Great things in the future. I was just going over those over lunch with Jamie. The new studios are almost done. So we've had some work issues. We've had some health issues. We've had some studio issues. We should be up and running back on our normal schedule next week. But we wanted to kick it off by doing the show today from our friends at Adam's Smokehouse location here on Watson Road because we've got a very exciting contest to announce. So be prepared. Get your pens and papers out, or if you've got a great intellectual mind like my cohort Jamie Rivers, or if you have the cranium of who we're missing, our buddy Darren Kimball.
If you have Kimby's brain, have somebody write it for you.
Sure. Or if you can hold all that information in, right? Great stuff for our contest. So you guys know for the last couple years now, we have our Live from Minner Arena segment with Dennis Minner. And hey, you know what? He's a passionate guy. Sometimes you're going to agree with him. Sometimes you don't. But he's passionate, that's for sure, and he's got an awesome fan cave. I think every Blues fan would love to have that in their basement. It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty sick, actually, and it's funny to see, or it's fun, rather, to see the before and after pictures that he has.
Amazing.
You know, where he started with it to where it is now, and you know, he continues to be passionate about, you know, his basement, and you know, that's where they watch the hockey games. He has watch parties, and
his kids down there.
His kids are down there. Like
when they're little playing hockey. I mean, what an awesome sight, right?
Like you said, you know, whether we don't always agree, or we sometimes we do agree with everybody.
Well, you never agree with me, so
this is true. That's usually
no. Actually, you say Cromer, you're right more than you know. Like if you go back and it was a drinking game, you'd be drunk. You'd be surprised.
Well, our fans can go back and try to find out as many times as I said. You know what, Cromes? I think you're right. And if that's the case, if we get, we should have an over-under on this thing.
It's a drinking game, I'm telling you. You agree with me more than you think you do.
Oh, wow.
Then it's because every blue moon when you or Kimby put me in my place a little bit, it's usually a pretty big deal. So everybody, I'm telling you, you'd be surprised.
No, what happens is you call me usually the night before, and we talk on the phone, and then we get on the pod here the next day, and then you like regurgitate something. So
go.
I have no choice
here
then but
go.
To say
okay.
You're right.
Well, listen, here's the deal. We're excited about our relationship. We're so glad that Adam Smokehouse actually sponsors that segment. We love it here. You saw some of the pictures today. You know, again, he had brisket. I had brisket with a salad. I've had everything they've had here. I mean, the ribs are unbelievable. And I've said it. We've got great barbecue places in St. Louis. We're partial, but I think Adam Smokehouse is the best barbecue in St. Louis. So congrats to them. Hats off to them. To announce our contest, guys, it's going to be pretty simple. So here we go. In an effort to help us promote Adam Smokehouse, and we want all of you that love the place to come back down and have it again. And for those of you that have not yet had a chance to get down here, we want you to come here. So here's how this is going to work. You're going to need, all right, ready for this? I don't want any tweets. I don't want any emails. I don't want any Facebook posts. This is a contest that involves three things. You got to love the Blues. You got to love you some Adam Smokehouse, and you got to love you some Instagram.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are going to work on – Instagram's the new thing, folks. I know we do a lot on Twitter, but we got to build up our Instagram following. So here's the contest. You ready? Come to Adam Smokehouse anytime before our segment, and I believe it's March 21st at Minner Arena. We will be at Minner Arena. Jamie's going to bring a couple friends along. Last year he had Mr. Twist, an epic episode, our number one episode of all time.
Epic.
I believe you're talking about dragging the knuckle dragger with you again.
I might have
year,
a couple
correct?
Of knuckle draggers
okay.
coming with
so
us,
I
yes.
You're working on two. We had them, right? Like
we've had
Cam there before.
These guys are well-requested.
Yes, well-requested. And, you know, the story time and all that. And you guys have always, like when we do that show, it's always our top show. We appreciate it. Now we're going to get you involved. So here's how this is going to go. On March 21st, we're going to do our recording from Minner Arena at 11 o'clock. And we are going to invite four listeners to bring a friend. So it's you plus one, four listeners, to join us live from Minner Arena when we do our Blues NHL podcast. Obviously, myself, who nobody really cares to meet, but you're going to meet Jamie Rivers, Darren Kimball, and, you know,
a couple
barring,
of celebrity guests.
Yes, celebrity guests, barring something. I know everybody wants you to bring Tony, and I know he'll help you, unless something he can't avoid. But you will have guests there. But you're also going to, we're going to have Adam Smokehouse. So you're going to have lunch. You're going to have the opportunity to ask these guys questions, jump on the air, take some pictures, get some stuff signed, do whatever you want to do, and you never know who might show up. So here's how you do this. Come to Adam Smokehouse, order something, sit down, take a selfie of you eating here at Adam Smokehouse, send it to us direct message on Instagram. So to do that, you have to follow us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. Pretty simple.
Pretty simple.
Follow Adam Smokehouse, tag
yep.
him in it. Okay, follow Blues NHL Podcast, both on Instagram. Send us the picture. Once we verify that you followed us, once we verify that you follow Adam Smokehouse, everybody's name goes in. Our newest intern, Will Kendall, will be taking care of loading all those names up. Pay attention throughout the next month because we've got a good month and a half till this
Don't
contest
be like
is over.
Cromer.
Okay?
Pay attention.
There's going to be opportunities for you to earn extra entries if you share a post, if you comment on a post, if you do something to help us promote the show. We're going to help you by adding more entries. So that's the deal. Pretty simple. What do you think? Was that simple enough?
I think it's simple.
Okay.
Honestly, I really do. I think it's easy. You know, the biggest reason for trying to build the Instagram is that some people have Twitter, some people have Instagram, and we're finding out that a lot of people now who are on Instagram aren't able to be a part of the show because
right.
we're predominantly Twitter. So we're trying to be equal parts everywhere. We'd like to have some Facebook. We'd like to have some Twitter. And now Instagram, where we can have a bunch of little contests and a bunch of things in the future that we've talked about adding to our show. Now we can get everybody involved and at the same time build up that following and have a lot of fun with it.
Well, we're going to, you know, trudge on here. And again, as I said, you just got to love the Blues. You got to follow us on Instagram. So listen, I don't want to hear it. You don't have an Instagram account. It takes 30 seconds.
Yep.
Get you in it. If you don't have one, you need one. So you follow us on Instagram. Send us the picture of you eating here, and you're in.
And
so,
you know what we'll do, too? We'll do, too, and this is what we should do. Is we should, when we're done doing all this stuff, we'll post on our Facebook and our Twitter the rules of this contest.
Yes.
And also to get to Instagram, we'll have our Instagram tag name there.
Perfect.
So you can go visit that. That way we make it really, really simple for you guys.
Well, again, for the four winners and their guests, it's going to be a great time. We're just going to promise what we know we can, but Jamie's never not over-delivered. So you never know what may be there for you guys.
Never know.
We have some beer companies that like to throw stuff our way. Jamie has a great relationship. You just never know. So, guys, do it. You're going to love it. All right, let's trudge on here.
Let's go. So, let's get after it here. First of all, let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's been a while since we've had a show. And to pick up, before we get to hockey, let's talk about my Patriots for a minute.
Oh, no.
Right? Like, I wish Kimby was here.
Oh, no.
Kimby hates the Patriots.
I know.
And I will admit, wasn't the greatest Super Bowl ever to watch. Now, I was excited the whole time because I knew personally the longer it went at a low score, the greater the chances were that the Patriots would pull it off because, hey, Tom Brady, I don't care what you say, he is the GOAT. And at one point, he's going to march down the field and he's going to punch one in. And that's all they needed. And so, although it wasn't a great game, you have to tip your hat to Bill Belichick, his staff, for nullifying a St. Louis Rams team that is supposed to be off the charts offensive with their new Wonder Boy coach that's Mr. Offense himself. They stifled
Which
him.
He's done a great job.
He's done a great job. Yeah. I have nothing negative to say about the coach or the players. The owner, he can go screw himself.
Yeah, right.
But ultimately, the Belichick plan with Brady execution, that one drive, because his execution, everything else wasn't fantastic all day. It was, in fact, the prop bet that was hilarious was that Vegas had a prop bet of first pass he throws will be intercepted. And a buddy of mine put $100 down on it. It was like 50-1. And so he was laughing his balls off because he's like, oh, my God, Brady just threw an interception first pass of the game. It was kind of nuts.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But
you're right. He's the greatest. And you don't even realize it, but you did my favorite thing. You called them the St. Louis Rams.
Absolutely.
That's right. And I love it when people do that because to us, that's what they are. I was torn. The players didn't do anything wrong. It's the only
players and coaches that are there now didn't do anything wrong.
And even the ones that were here, like Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley was here. He didn't do anything wrong. But
no,
you know what? Here's the deal. The NFL screwed us. I got no love for the NFL. I don't like the way that game's trending.
Yeah.
Just like we talk a little bit about the way the NHL game is, we love it, but there's things about it that irritate us. There's things about the NFL that irritate me. Baseball's trying to do the same thing. They're trying to implement rules. I don't know what some of these things are doing, but there's got to be a business reason behind it. So
it's weird that every year they look for ways to change things, right? Like, I understand if something's trending that's a problem and you want to address it, you can come up with some different rules, but when every year you're just going to the drawing board and literally saying, hey, guys, throw me a bunch of new rules you'd like to see, and they kind of go over this stuff, and some of it's just ridiculous. In all the leagues, every single one of them. And so, I don't know. I don't mind some of the changes if it's something that's trending in a direction where it's becoming a problem. But I find now they're literally going out and changing rules before they're a problem, before it's an issue. And then we still have situations that I'm sure everybody's way over this by now, but we still have situations where that pass interference on New Orleans Saints, like, why should that not be reviewed? Like, realistically, anybody in their right mind would have called that penalty. I don't know how the referees didn't.
Well, think about it. Okay, you can almost take any sport and have the same argument, right? Like, now we have the offsides thing and the offsides review in hockey, which I applaud the NHL for putting in the 2-minute thing. I think that's a great idea.
I love that idea.
Because now we're not willy-nilly and just trying it, right?
Yeah.
And you get challenges because why not? I love that idea. But I also believe that I've said it, I'm anti-replay. I don't want it. You're talking about a guy that I love the Cardinals. I love him. 1985, we've got another World Series.
Oh, God, I know. Here we go. 85.
But my point is I don't want it. I don't want it.
I know.
And I don't want it in hockey. I don't want it in football.
Yeah, but think about how like it to me, it takes some of the misery out of the game. Like, how much have we heard about the New Orleans Saints fans and the players, and even Sean Payton wearing the Barstool Sports, you know, Goodell clown shirt? Like, so you've obviously got people who are unhappy with the fact that the referees missed the call. And I'm not saying every call should be looked at, but maybe if you get within the last 5 minutes of the half, that if there's one that's kind of like this, the coach can throw a challenge out on a penalty. You know, I don't know. I'm not for stopping the game every 5 minutes, that's for sure. But I am all about it, you know, people getting it right. At least in my opinion.
Well, so think about those, and I ask you this. You can go back and look at any game, though, and you literally could have challenged all kinds of things that could have affected the outcome. Now, I understand that it's front and center, and like in a hockey game.
It would be like missing a penalty shot
for
a guy, right? Like, and then it could be the difference of the game. I just looked at it, and I felt really bad for the players because that guy didn't even try to find the ball. He just blasted him right out of his freaking shoes, and the referees didn't call it, and it ended up being, you know, the play that would ultimately work against the New Orleans Saints. So that's tough for me to stomach as an athlete.
Yeah, but I just, at any juncture in a game, something, you're going to be, you know, like, people are, like, they showed, like, a couple face masks, but oh, well, but this was at the end of the game. I'm like, yeah, but if you called those earlier in the game, it may have never gotten to this point. I understand the severity of it, just like in a hockey game, whether it's a hit from behind or a goal that doesn't cross the line or an offsides. It's my problem with replay is if you're not going to implement it for every little thing, then you can't pick and choose what you think's important.
But the problem is, you know as well as I do, you can't implement it for every play because then you're going to have 5-6 hour games, and that nobody's going to buy into that. The sponsorship's going to go bye-bye on that.
And that's why I don't want it.
Yeah. I'll give you a half point for that.
Half point. So that's a half a shot.
People can have a half a shot.
Well, one thing you're going to have to agree with me on, no doubt, is our Blues have answered the call coming out of the break.
It's incredible.
Well, whatever break you want to call this.
You know, going into the break, they had generated some momentum. And what was nice to see, and sometimes it works against you, is when you have that break right in the middle of something going really well, then you come back and sometimes you don't pick up where you left off. And so the Blues this time here, they went into the break, which, you know, 9 days is a long time. And they came back, and it looked like the break had gotten the best of them because they were not good right away in the first period. They were being outshot big time. And then they give up the goal, and you think, oh, boy, here it comes. And then they come muscling back, and they pick away, and they pick away, and they go. And all of a sudden, they turn the game around. They outshoot the Panthers, and they come up with a game-winning push in the third period. It's impressive. Those are pushes that we wouldn't have seen earlier this season.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we would have been down, and it would have been over.
Over. You know, and then they come out against Columbus, and the top line gets it done. I mean, people have been questioning, like, you know, why isn't Braden Schenn, you know, where's the point total? Vladimir Tarasenko. Although Vladdy had really kind of started to turn the corner.
I have to eat a bunch of a bag of shit right now because Vladdy has been playing really well. And I don't know if it's him playing so well or if it's him piggybacked onto Ryan O'Reilly.
Does it matter?
And Braden. It doesn't matter.
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
That's my thing. So, that's why. Listen, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. You guys are when it comes to hockey.
No, you're not.
See, you've agreed with me again. See,
that's
take
right.
a shot.
Damn, take a drink.
But that's why I've always said I don't think you can trade him. He's too.
But here's the problem, Now, here's where you run into some trouble with me. Is he has a no-trade clause that kicks in July. So if Vladdy goes out and we don't trade him, and he goes out the next two seasons and is very average, like we've seen him be at times, and you're owing this player now a lot of money still, you cannot trade him. Now, of course, everybody can be traded. You can ask him to waive his no-trade. But all that heartache and all that bad press surrounding your team.
Sure.
Or do you say, let's move this guy? And you don't have to move him in season. Like, he could get moved at the draft. Like, you could go in a direction at the draft where you're like, okay, we'll give you Tarasenko for player X, and draft choice X, you know?
Yeah.
And I like Vladdy. I do. And I've had the opportunity of working with him, and I see him making the effort, and I see him. But I always worry about players with no trade or no movement clauses. Yeah. I worry about that, especially when there's a good chunk of term left on a deal.
Isn't that the nature of the beast, though, anymore? Don't they all have it? Can you think of anybody that makes a bunch of money that doesn't have one?
No. I mean, not off the top of my head. I think that's a mistake by the league, yeah, too. And I think it's something that the owners have done to themselves. And once again, they'll be pissed off come CBA time, just like Austin Matthews.
What an amazing contract
he signs. The young man is wealthy beyond his own belief right now. Right. The Maple Leafs signed him to very manageable money, a very manageable term. They didn't try to hit a home run at 8 years and push it to the brink. But did you see the way the contract is set up? He makes no more than $750,000 a year in salary. So his signing bonus, okay, the huge part of his salary, which is, I think it's like 56 or 58 million total over his 5 years, he's making almost all of that in signing bonus. Now, what that does is a couple things. One, he doesn't pay escrow on signing bonus. So the escrow, for people at home who don't know what that is there's a fund, an escrow fund that's put together by the league, and each player puts a percentage of their contract in the escrow account in case the NHL doesn't reach a certain number of dollars for revenue that year. If they don't reach it, they use the escrow to give it out to teams so that the league is protecting itself and its owners. So that's one thing. He doesn't have to pay escrow off of his signing bonus. He'll pay it out of his $750,000 salary, which will be minimal,
compared to
what he'd have to pay if he was making $12 million.
Right.
So secondly on that is it's lockout protected.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's a lockout, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
July 1, he gets paid a check for $12, $13 million. Bam. It's lockout protected. So all this stuff, it's really weird how this is, and it's buyout protected. Not that you're going to buy out Austin Matthews because you don't predict on a franchise and an era player like that being bought out, but it's buyout protected. So if you want to buy him out, great, you can buy him out off of the $750. It's easier for the team. However, the team is still going to owe him all of that money in signing bonus.
You know, there's so many interesting things going on.
By the way, before I lose my thought, because that happens a lot, is this is what the owners have done and the management have done. They've circumvented the CBA that they put in place. And then there'll be a lockout again at some point, or talk of it, and it'll be because the owners are pissed off with the way guys have circumvented the CBA. Well, guess what, guys? You won the last CBA. You won. You got your salary cap. You got your escrow. You got a bunch of things that the owners wanted. Now what's going to happen? Because the players are going to say, well, screw you guys. Publicly, we get absolutely pelted whenever there's a lockout. And secondly, now with the way you guys are winning every single lockout, this is on you guys. So it's very, very, it's dangerous what's going on right now. I'm happy as hell for the player. I think it's very smart and genius by the management and the player's agent. However, I see this coming to a head now because Tavares did the same thing. Matthews did the same thing. A bunch of players have massive signing bonuses that are circumventing the CBA.
Well, the owners are always going to try to circumvent it, right? Especially the ones that feel like they've got more and things like that.
But you can't lock out teams.
To your point, they're doing it to themselves.
They are.
Like, the no-trade clause is what? It's something to give them because you just can't give them unlimited money anymore.
That's right.
For the best player. So,
exactly.
Well, what can we give them, right?
And give them no-trade.
You know, there's all kinds of... And I understand your point about him. And, yeah, I guess you don't want to see that... I just look at it like this. If trading Vladimir Tarasenko would instantly fix everything, I think I'd be more on board with it. But it's not going to.
No, I don't think.
I know it's an avenue to.
But I'm not saying like we trade him even right now. Like, who knows, right? And I'm not saying we have to trade him. I'm always afraid of that no trade.
And I understand
clause.
Your concern. I do. I think, man, it's just so hard to trade guys when they're going well, they're just so good.
I know.
One thing if it's a guy that's just a good player. It's another thing, man, when it's a guy that when he's going, I mean, dude, he's a dude.
He's playing great.
You know, so
no, I was lucky enough to be able to be doing the game for Fox, the Columbus game, do a little TV action,
What a game. I mean,
no
the top line just...
But they were amazing.
Yeah.
You know, they were, I mean, first shift of the game, Vladdy got a breakaway out of that. Yeah. And then he never stopped, never took his foot off the gas. And the one goal that really, for me, if people can remember that far back, because it's been a while, but the one goal for me that stood out was Carl Gunnarsson goes down low.
Yeah.
He gets worked over.
Gunny.
Gunny, my boy. You've
been on the Gunny ship all year,
I have been.
You have been.
Gunny works down low. He falls down. Him and then Vladdy are working the wall. All of a sudden, Gunny pulls the puck out, leaves it for Vladdy. Vladdy makes a great pass. Gunny goes in. Like, it wasn't that, you know, that zone entry, fast and furious rush. It was a gritty goal by two guys that you wouldn't expect the grit from. So, to me, you know, if Vladdy's adding that kind of stuff, and then the kicker was, you know, the Ryan O'Reilly slap shot on net. And Vladdy diving over the goalie to put it in. Like, honestly, when's the last time you seen Vladdy Tarasenko dive to do anything?
Would you... I don't want to use this term. I don't want to box it in. Like, I'm just, like, cherry-picking. But over his career, would you say Vladdy's kind of a blood-in-the-water type player? Like, when there's blood in the water, he more easily turns his game up. And probably the next thing for him is the ability to do so when there's not blood in the water.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Is Vladdy is a guy that if his first shifts or his first period are good, if he generates scoring chances, if he gets an assist, even a secondary, his game changes. It's like you said, now it's like, bam, the switch is on. And the other night against Columbus, first shift of the game, he gets a breakaway. Now, he didn't score, but it, like, stimulated him, right?
And then he's flying.
And then he was on. It was, the game was on then at that point. And if you watch the Florida game, it wasn't there. And then all of a sudden, it was like one play that happens, and then, bam, now his game is elevated again. So he's a guy that... I'm not saying, not that he lacks motivation, because that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is,
it just seems
he's easily motivated when he does something good. And I know that sounds crazy because we're all motivated when things go good. But with Vladdy, it's definitely, it doesn't have to be a goal. It doesn't have to be an assist. It just has to be a great opportunity. And it's like, it's like it lights the fire just a little bit.
Yeah, because, you know, as I've watched him over the years, I mean, it seems like, if you give him an inch, that's all he needs, right? And so when he's pressuring people and when he's doing things, it's when they back off a little bit and they get a little timid. The thing I will say about him over time, which I've always thought was amazing, was, you know, I think most players are like this, but nobody's happier for other players than Vladdy when they score or if they do something good. And he almost seems to be happier when it's the guys you don't expect, like when a Carl Gunnarsson scores or when an Oscar. I mean, the guy is literally ecstatic for people. He's not pouting. No, I'm sure he's not happy when he's not scoring. But so at least you have that. Like I said, what it comes down to is I'm just so not in favor of trading great players, but I've heard you say it. I've heard it said 1,000 times. If Wayne Gretzky can be traded, he can be traded.
I mean, I just look at it as an opportunity to, you know, if this isn't ultimately the lineup we're happy with, right?
Right.
If you have a Vladdy Tarasenko that you're willing to deal and you want to throw in maybe another player that you feel that you can't move their contract. You're just like, there's no way we can trade this player because nobody wants his contract. Well, guess what? We'll give you Vladdy, but you got to take this extra player.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's one way to completely change your lineup quickly.
Right.
And once again, I just want to make it clear, I'm not advocating for that. I'm not saying that we should trade him. I'm not saying that I want to trade him.
Right.
All I'm saying is that if we decide to go down that road,
right,
then this organization can change dramatically because of that trade.
Well, I'm just curious now. I guess when you start talking about trades, and we've all went back and forth with what the Blues are going to do, the reality of it is, you talked a little bit about it on last show, how are they going to come out of the break?
Yeah.
Are they going to come out of the break, shit the bed, okay, now it's an easy decision? Or are they going to come out of the break and going to make it really even harder than it already is on Doug Armstrong, because it's like, holy cow, we're in this thing now. And let's face it, we are in it. We have games in hand. We're there. We are playing better. And it seems like we say this all the time, but the next couple weeks is really going to tell us something, right? And we talked about that, too.
Yeah.
With the stretch of games coming up, and, you know, it's not like it takes a rocket scientist to say this. We're going to know where we're at in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing right now is I think Doug Armstrong has to be thinking the same exact thing. He's got to be thinking, we're 1 point out. We have games in hand. We're rolling right now. The team looks better than it has all season. And hopefully they're getting David Perron back in the lineup soon. If that's the case, now you're getting arguably your most consistent scorer on the team because he had a 13-game point streak going. You know, hopefully he picks up where he left off.
Wow.
And now you're even better. So I think Doug Armstrong has to look at it in two different things. I literally think, and I've said this before, he has to have like two dry erase boards, and he has to have his lineup on both. And it's, you know, plan A is we're going for it to get into the playoffs and to make a push, and here's how we're going to do it, and here's what I'm willing to part with, here's what I'm looking for. Or plan B, we lose two or three in a row, we fall 5, 6, 7 points back again, here's plan B, this is what I'm willing to do at that point.
So I mean I know you're not going to share exactly all the things you know that run behind things, but I would assume it has to look something like this. He's having conversations with different people, but he's probably being honest with them, saying, look guys, if I'm here in a couple weeks, I'm probably more than willing to do this. But I'm also interested in talking to other people going, hey, listen, I want to be – like, if you're going to move this guy, keep me informed because if we're still in – so he's probably playing both sides of the fence, which
totally.
I'm sure all GMs do. So, you know,
for
it's
sure.
worth their salt.
But I can tell you that teams are going to be watching the Chicago's, the St. Louis's, the Philadelphia's, the teams, the Oilers, all the teams that are hovering around a playoff spot, right?
Yeah, they're Chicago,
gonna be,
huh?
They're going to be watching them very closely because if one of those teams starts to dip, then you're going to want to have had conversations, right? They call it the kicking tires in the NHL, right? So if I'm Doug Armstrong, I'm talking to everybody right now.
Sure.
And I'm honest, and I'm telling them that, guess what, guys? Yes, I will be making changes. I don't know what they are yet. I don't know what direction. But I can tell you for sure our team will be players come deadline day.
Twice the work, right? Instead
That's
of being
right.
sellers and are talking to half the teams, he's talking to all of them.
That's talking to all the teams, but it's good to have that dialogue.
You know, you brought up the bad word, the Blackhawks. All of a sudden, playing better. And, you know,
shit, they're like, what, 5 points? Four points out of a playoff spot now?
Obviously, a little bit harder road to row than us. That being said, there's been a player that's been attached to them in the future because of the relationship, because of everything. If the Columbus Blue Jackets find themselves ready to deal, if they can trade for Panarin, I don't know. I mean, obviously there's salary thing, but man, you take.
I don't think Panarin's going back to Chicago. You know, the rumors that I hear circling around the NHL world is that he's looking to go down to Florida or Tampa. That's the markets where he wants to be. Why?
Really?
I don't know. But I know Florida, the Panthers, are going to be players.
Well, they would probably love that.
Well,
I mean,
they've shed some salary
off
their salary cap. They're going to probably shed some more. They've got room there. The Florida Panthers, as it sits right now, are going to want to add Bobrovsky and Panarin.
Wow.
And they're trying to make it a package deal so they get the two Russians. They have Bob come in, and you have Roberto Luongo has got like 3 or 4 years left on his deal at a $5 million cap hit. Very reasonable. You can play Roberto Luongo 30, 35 games. You can play Bobrovsky the rest. And now you have the successor to Roberto Luongo sitting there, right there, Bobrovsky. Yeah. And you're going to give him a 6 or 7 year deal.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then you have Panarin that goes down there.
Yeah.
And guess what? They have Barkov.
Yeah.
Who's a Russian guy playing the middle. Guess who's going to play with him? Yeah. Panarin.
Yeah, they're a lot better. They do that.
I'm just saying that.
No way Tampa can do that, can they?
Tampa doesn't have the room.
They don't have the
financially,
room.
Not unless they were willing to make a trade. Here's the thing, and this is where tampering gets to be very scary in the NHL, is Tampa wouldn't be able to make that deal unless they were positive that Panarin was going to re-sign with them because of the UFA next year. So if they knew that for some reason that there was an opportunity, or I guess it's not common in the NHL, but if Tampa called Columbus and said, hey, we want you guys to sign him for this much money, sign and trade, okay?
So can they do that?
They
can.
No, yeah, it's totally – right now the Columbus Blue Jackets could re-sign Panarin to an 8-year deal at whatever money. It doesn't matter because it doesn't count on the cap until it actually kicks in. So they could sign him. And then they could have a trade orchestrated with Tampa, and Tampa could send two players to Columbus before this deadline or at the deadline, and Panarin comes back to the Lightning contract already in place. That's the only way to circumvent it, because if you don't do it that way, then it's tampering. You can't call the agent and say, "Hey, we'll work out a deal right now, and if we trade for him, he has to resign." It's very complicated and messy, but you know, that's the only way I think it could work.
Well, you know, I would be it's going to be interesting. I would be surprised if the Blues make no moves, but I mean,
they'll do something for sure.
You know, it'll be like we live in interesting times. People say,
well,
so,
Bennington
right?
Is going to be the wild card here.
See, this is the whole deal too. I mean,
you have to understand. People at home listening have to understand that he is not going to reach the maximum amount of games in order for him to remain a restricted free agent, because there's a certain amount of games that you have to play in with your organization for them to continue holding your rights at a young age. And he's not going to hit that number. And I don't know what that number is. People, you guys can Google it. But I know for a fact he's not going to hit that number. So, that being said, he's going to become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. He's playing very well right now. He's a young goalie. Everybody thinks he's older than he is because he's been around since, you know, because he came in the league at 19-20.
He's young now.
But now you're going to end up losing a great goalie. As of right now, a great goalie, okay? Time will tell, but he's got the start. He's getting the start again tonight against
Tampa. That's going to be my next thing to you. I mean, they came right out of the break with him.
Yeah.
I mean, this
And they're riding him.
And I'm sorry.
But now, wouldn't it be a shame if they just lose him to free agency? So now that begs the question, would Doug Armstrong trade him? Or does he look to trade Jake Allen?
Doesn't he have to trade? I mean, listen.
Which one would be easier to get done, though?
Well, of course, but we've talked about this. You guys have rightfully so defended Jake Allen at numerous times, but you've also called the kettle black when it needed to be called black.
Well, it's pretty black right now.
And don't they have to move him? Don't they have to move on? Jake's probably ready to go. He would probably not. Well, he might, but I don't know him. It seems like, you know, I doubt for his own sanity and own good, probably wouldn't come out and say, "Get me the hell out of here," but God, I can't believe he doesn't want to go and just start somewhere.
I don't think he would be upset. Well, I shouldn't say that, because everybody's upset when you get traded.
Sure.
And Jake has never been traded yet.
Sure.
That's a weird feeling. I remember my first trade, you know, and it was it's an awkward feeling.
Yeah, but you took it and ran with it, buddy.
After that,
you
I just said, trade me every year.
You left a burning trail behind you.
I liked
you.
It so much, I said, let's do this every year.
But you almost made it. I don't
in all know. All things serious, it's a tough spot to be in, but now it's really a catch-22 for the Blues, because you have Bennington, who's going to be unrestricted. You don't really know how good he's going to be, so you're going to have a very, very small sample size body of work leading up to the deadline. Even if he's perfect from now to the deadline, you're still looking at it going, is this another – remember what's his name there? The goalie in Ottawa. They called him the Hamburglar. Hammond was his name, right? He ran off a 23-3 record to get them in the playoffs, and then you couldn't hit him again with a puck to save his life. And he signed a 3-year deal, which was like $1.5 million a year, and they literally cut ties with other goalies that they had because they felt like they had to keep him. And so now we're in the same damn thing with Bennington. Is he's going to play well, or if he continues to do this, do we reward him and sign him to a contract? If so, now you still have Jake, and then you have Ville Husso, who's, you know, he's technically your guy that you were looking to pass the torch to.
Well, but, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Jamie.
Oh, I will.
I know you will. But you're going to agree with me again.
No.
If you fast forward the equation, and the St. Louis Blues can move Jake Allen without eating any salary, can get anything for him, really. And if Bennington continues to play well, and they could sign Bennington for 3 years, $1.5 million a year, I mean, if you looked in a future hour and they said this is the deal, you take that.
Well, of course, and you got to look at.
I knew it.
But, so everybody at home, drink, okay? And if it's still during work hours, you put an IOU on your hand. But here's the thing, Robin Leonard. New York Islanders.
Yeah.
He's on a 1-year deal. He is playing the lights out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So if you were to trade Jake, and this is just my mind, the way I think sometimes, is right now Matt Murray's hurt in Pittsburgh.
Right.
They have no number one goalie. So why would you not want to pick up the phone and call Pittsburgh and get one of their players back? God knows they have somebody that'll help us, okay? We trade them Jake Allen for temporary number one, and then you give them what they had when they won two cups in a row. They had Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury as his backup, right? So now you'd have Murray and Allen. And Allen's got, what, a couple of years left on his deal? It's not a horrible cap hit.
It's so, not an awful contract.
It's not an awful contract. Not now with the term left. But so you've made that move. Now you could have Binnington and call up Husso, or you know, maybe ask for one of their backup goalies
or
in the trade.
Falls in your lap,
and then you go after Robin Lehner. You say, look, this guy's got his shit together. He's, you know, thank God he's done with the alcohol and the drugs and all the problems that he had. He's playing, I think he's probably got to be in Vezina as far as the conversations go. So now you bring him in. He could be your number one, and you have Binnington that you signed for a very low number. And now if there's any issues or injuries, you're calling up Husso, who you really want to marinate a little bit longer in the minors anyway. So to me, these are plays that can be made. And if the Islanders decide to keep Robin Lehner, well, they have the other one, Greiss, the other goalie, who's, I think, third or fourth in the league. So there's options there.
Well, they, you know, they're going to want to do something. I can't, I mean, be hard for them to lose a guy in free agency when they need help.
So no, 100%.
You would think you could do something. You know, it's going to be interesting. I don't know if I have any preconceived notions about what I think Doug Armstrong should do, only because I don't, like, there's a part of me that always has wanted to say, I just don't know that they're good enough. But I got to tell you, like, for the first time in a while, I'm excited again.
Well, I feel that this year, though, I feel now, like, they've gotten this close.
It'd be hard now.
Yeah, but you have to try and get into the playoffs. Like, if they're 6-7 points out, you can almost fold up the tent and say, you know what, wasn't our year. But now, after all the stuff that they've gone through, after the, you know, the expectations being through the roof to start the year, and then starting the bottom of the barrel, and now working your way up, you had to fire a coach along the way, and here you are now, you're knocking at the door. You owe it to your fan base to get into the playoffs.
It'd be a real punch in the gut.
You have to.
So I'm going to finish with that today. I got to ask you, has Craig Berube gotten enough credit for this?
I don't think he has. You know, like,
The other day is the first time I've seen it mentioned, and it was by, I don't know who it was. Somebody had sent something out, and somebody made a big deal about it on Twitter. It was a national guy or something, and he just basically said, look, Craig Berube took a team of guys that were underachieving and found a way to make them play. I mean, and I thought, it's the first time I've heard anybody give Craig Berube any credit for this.
Well, if you remember, you know, everybody talked about the Blues underachieving, dysfunctional. Everybody rumored that there's problems in the locker room. There's problems here. They didn't play a good system. They weren't working hard enough. All this stuff. And Berube was given the interim tag almost in a, I don't want to say an insulting way.
It was, kind of. I hate to say that. Kimby wasn't shy about it.
No,
like,
and,
look,
you know, I've talked about it. You've talked about it. Like, Doug Armstrong literally says, we're going to find our next head coach.
Scour the earth.
And there's a guy sitting right next to him, right? And, well, and he goes,
what am I supposed to do with this?
By the way, this guy here is going to be interim basis, which, you know, in talking to the players, which I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of dialogue here recently with a lot of guys, he's a very good communicator. And he doesn't waver on his communicating, meaning, like, if the expectations are set for one player, those same expectations are for every player. And in some of these situations, Cromes, he's had to make some tough decisions. He's had to healthy scratch guys who are playing well. Like, you look at Vince Dunn, he's leading the D in scoring, and he's healthy scratched him. And now Carl Gunnarsson, they say it's an upper body tonight, but let's just say it's upper body slash healthy scratch, right? So that's another decision. But the players are really responding. They like the way he's communicating.
Well, he hasn't shied away from it.
Not at all.
He's come right out and said, these are hard decisions.
Yeah.
There's competition here. It's hard decision time. You got,
he really hasn't said too many words, if you listen to his interviews.
But he did say that. These are hard decisions.
Yeah.
You know, guys got to step up. I mean, he's not like, oh, well, he hasn't babied it. He just said, listen, guys got to step up.
Yeah.
And I think it goes along with how do you not give him some credit? So
I think you have to. If the Blues find a way to get into the playoffs, okay, and depending on where they end up in that, I think you'd have to have him on the bubble of being on the ballot for Coach of the Year. I mean, think about it. They were second last in the conference and, what, third last in the NHL. At one point, they may have been last in the NHL.
If they weren't, they were
right
all
there.
But close.
And now they're 1 point out. So imagine if they get in, right? Like, I think you have to analyze that. If not nationally, if the media doesn't put him in that conversation, I do think that he should be in that conversation for people here in St. Louis who are watching these games and watching this team turn around. And if that's the case, then, I mean, if I'm Doug Armstrong, I have to think about giving this guy a 2 or 3 year deal to continue what he started.
It's going to be interesting. Like I said, I wanted to end with that only because, listen, all the credit in the world to Ryan O'Reilly. Since the guy put on the jersey, he's been unbelievably great.
He's been awesome.
You can't even, it's just insanely how good he is. You know, Braden Schenn, even though the numbers aren't there, I thought he's played pretty well.
To me, those two guys are the leadership future of the team.
Yeah.
And, I'm a Petro fan. I like Petro. There's lots of things he does that people don't see how hard he works and the effort he puts in. But I do feel that the future of this organization, their leadership group, consists of Ryan O'Reilly and Braden Schenn.
Yeah.
And so whether the numbers are there or not, they will be. But it's the culture that they're creating.
See, I've always said, I'm not a Petro fan. But I was honest enough to say, like when we had this conversation, I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago. Because when you say it out loud, you really think about it. And that's this. Even though I don't particularly like him, the reason I don't like him is because I don't believe in my heart that he's a true number one. He lacks a certain something that I don't like. But the problem is, unless you can replace him with true number one, you don't have anybody that can do what he does.
100%.
Now, some people are listening going, what do you mean? We don't have anybody that can turn the puck over? And I get it. I'm you, okay? I'm sitting there, and I see the same things you do, and I get upset. But if you're going to do that, and you're going to be true and going to be real, then you got to watch the other 20 minutes he plays, 22 minutes, and all the other things he does that while I like Joel Edmondson, and I like Colton Parayko, and I like Vince Dunn, for those 20 minutes, they can't do what he does.
No.
Now, what, maybe 10 defensemen in the league that if you were to have them, maybe 15 at the most, you'd be like, okay, as good or bring something else to the table.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get them.
That's not a lot.
Well,
and you're not going to get them.
Move them?
They're not. You don't move those pieces.
So I understand that point. So, you do what you can. It's going to be a tough thing, man. The one guy, we have been on Steen's ass the whole time. If you can move him, you got to move him. Because it's just, there's nothing. Even the little things that I know you talk about, it's just not, in my opinion.
Here's the thing is, I do believe he holds value on the market. And the reason he holds value is a team that's looking to go for it, he's a great piece of the puzzle. Because if you need a guy to play the power play, he can spot in there. If you need a guy on the penalty kill, he can spot in there. If you need a third liner, he can spot in there. He's smart enough and experienced enough to contribute to a team. So if you do trade him, for some reason, if we do trade him, it's going to be to a team that needs a veteran presence and a bit of a Swiss Army knife as they head into the playoffs.
We've all went back and forth on Steen. But don't you believe in your heart that if they could trade him, they would? Only because of this. Number one, it's a huge salary relief. He's not showing up in the scoring column. He's not dominating.
We weren't
going to
trade him when the season was going crappy. That's for sure.
No, but I'm just saying. Now, my point is, even if they make a run now, isn't he the one guy that you feel like, we could still move him?
You could.
And I don't know that we're going to miss a beat.
No, you could. But, maybe they look in other directions.
Maybe
they look
him
at
Schwartz.
Maybe they look at Bozak. Is he a guy? But I'm just saying. Okay. You know, so sometimes there's coin tosses that can be made here without disrespecting the players, but sometimes there's players that can cancel each other out. And if a team for some reason was in the conversation with Bozak on July 1st,
sure,
and now he becomes available, maybe they say, hey, we wanted him before.
Sure.
And then you're able to move that player.
Sure.
You know?
You know, I would say this. If either one of them was my third line center, I wouldn't have any bitches or complaints. You know, I really wouldn't. But, you know, I think Robert Thomas has, now he was hurt, and we know that, but he was playing his best hockey before he got hurt. You would anticipate that once he gets his bearings about him, he'll come back. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, I think it's time to give him the keys to that car on the second line.
Yeah.
I believe that. You know, if you want to go with Shen on the wing, I think it's proven that it's working. It's okay.
It's working right now, that's
so,
for sure.
You know, if you do that, if either Bozak or Steen goes, the one guy, if you can get Schwartz going, I
agree,
I think you
but
got
then maybe it's Schwartz that goes.
Could be, because that's another one. Like I said, I told somebody that the other day and they thought I was crazy. I said, listen, I like Schwartz. I've seen him carry this team for 15 games. We've all seen it, right?
But he's been a long
this
time
is
here now, Crohn's.
This a long haul going here.
It's this. You go back to last
this is
year,
almost
too.
Almost Jake Allen-ish. It's this goes on now almost every year.
I know, and I love him, and I think he's a hell of a player. I think he's a hell of a guy. I think he works his ass off. But if you look at the run that he had in the second half of the season last year where Mike Yeo had to literally kind of come out and defend him, saying he had so much more than putting the puck in the net, although we all know that he wants him to put it in the net. But we take that and you combine it with the start of this year, that's almost a full season of not being productive.
Well, let's be quite honest. Let's say it out loud. If you, Jaden Schwartz, if you want to make $2.5, $3 million a year and play left wing on the third line, you can do that. But that's not what you do. That's not what we pay
it's
you
not
to
why
do, and
here.
It's not what we need you to do.
No.
So you cannot have bitched about Vladdy. You cannot have complained about other guys.
Yeah.
And not call that kettle black. And again, for all the Jake Allen haters out there, even the ones that can recognize that at times he's played well, the knock that you would have to admit, even if you're a Jake Allen lover, is every year, man, we go through this, right?
Yeah.
We go through this every year with Schwartzy.
We have.
So
I agree. So I
he's a hard guy to not like.
Well, that's the problem
story,
is you like him, but you can't be blinded by it either.
Yeah.
You know, because if you look at the numbers don't lie if you're looking at a guy who's supposed
I'm
to be
put you on the hot
a producer.
Seat. You ready?
Please do.
If you had tomorrow, if you had ownership comes in and says, you got to move Vladdy or Schwartz.
I'm moving. Well, it depends what I'm getting back, right?
Would it really matter?
Of course it would matter.
Well, I mean, you're not going to get shit for either one of them. What I mean is you're not going to take shit for either one of them.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if they tell me you can move Vladdy and I know I have a deal in place, it's going to bring back a franchise of, like, 5-6 years of success because I've got three unbelievable players coming back, then I think if it's just to get a trade
done. It's a realistic
done,
question. Are you going to get three franchise-changing players for Vladimir Tarasenko? So it's a realistic question. If you could trade them both right now, the deals that you would have on the table.
I think the easiest deal.
You might get
deal,
a little bit more for Tarasenko. Not much.
But I think you get immediate return probably from a Schwartz deal.
I know it's blasphemy to some people to say it because I like everybody else. I mean, was it last year? When they started off like
well, he was on fire.
And then he got hurt and we saw the team go boom. So you automatically went.
But then he came
how
back
important
and he didn't do
Schwartz.
Anything.
Remember that?
I know.
Boy, we're seeing how important Jaden Schwartz is to this team.
Yeah.
And now we're sitting here watching him make a run. Now he's hit some posts. These guys, how long can he have bad
guess
luck?
Guess what? They don't have a column that say posts.
Well, but I will say this. On that flip side, if there's one guy on the team that if you were going to say, you got to put your money on one guy to catch fire and turn it around, it'd be Schwartz.
It'd be Schwartz. You know? Yeah, I know.
So it's just.
It's a tough one. I know.
It just reeks of you hate to move a good player.
Well, you hate to see it where you'd move him and then he catches fire somewhere else and then everybody goes, oh, my God.
That's
you know,
any
you,
of them, yeah.
You know, you weren't patient enough. It's tough.
Well, listen, this was good stuff.
Yeah, this was great.
I need a nap. I really do.
I know. I got a long drive home.
Yeah,
I don't
so
fall
do
asleep.
So do I. But, again, it was great. We got to talk about the show. And don't forget, guys, we're going to really start hammering the Instagram thing. The contest is very simple. You come to Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. They're closed on Mondays, guys. I better tell you that. They're closed on Mondays. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, they're open until 7 o'clock. Open through the weekend. Come on down. I'm going to share a picture, and I already have, of Jamie Eaton. That's all we need. We need a picture of Jamie eating. No, what we need is a picture of you eating Adam's Smokehouse in the restaurant. Okay, guys? If you come and get it to go, just take a picture of it while you're in the restaurant. We'll know if you're here. That qualifies you. But it's, you got to follow us and them on Instagram, and then you send us the picture on Instagram, and then you are registered. Our intern will get you registered. Pay attention to the show. We will send out periodic things such as, hey, go to Twitter, share our pinned tweet. Yeah. Hey, go to Facebook, like, make sure you like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends, okay? Share that, do this, do that. All those types of things we will monitor, and you'll get extra entries. So,
clues.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you could honestly get 100 entries in this thing just by following us over the course of the next month or so and doing the things that we ask you to do. And you won't want to miss this. The episode last year with Tony was epic. We've had Cam there. And, you know, Jamie never disappoints. He calls in a favor and gets some guys there, but sitting between these guys when Tony was telling stories last year is an unbelievable thing. And I know you want to be there. So it's going to be you plus one. That's four winners. So we're going to have eight people join us. Food provided by Adam Smokehouse. Beer provided. I'm sure Urban Chestnut always provides the liquid.
That'd be nice, yes.
You know, we've had friends from Lion's Choices provide stuff, all this. We're going to have a buffet from Adam Smokehouse. Great Blues Talk with Jamie Rivers, Darren Kimball, and guests. And we're just going to have a great time. You guys will be on the show. Make sure you do that, and we will be ready to go. Jamie, thank you for taking the time today.
My pleasure. Anytime we get to Adam Smokehouse and do one of these, I'm telling you.
Listen, guys, to make it real easy for you, we're going to be doing a 30-second video here after I get done recording this. So it'll be our own Jamie Rivers showing you exactly how to do this piece of cake. You guys will be ready to go. So, Jamie, thanks. I appreciate it, of course. Oh,
my pleasure.
SynergyHockeySkills.com. Jamie
SynergyHockeySkills.com. Get on there. Click on summer camps. That's what we're looking to fill up right now. And we got 8 or 9 different locations for 10 weeks straight all over St. Louis. And now's the time to get on there before we still have a little discount going. Before full price kicks in, now's the time.
How much time they got to take advantage of that? A little bit of time left still?
A little bit of time.
Good. Yeah. Okay, take advantage. Hey. If you're going to do it, you might as well save a little dough doing it, huh?
Absolutely.
You know what else we're going to do? Well, we're going to invite our friends from Nelson Land Services to join us at Minn Arena.
Oh, boy.
He'll like that Urban Chestnut. He'll like that barbecue.
It could get ugly.
Mama Nelson, the whole bit. I know Kimby calls her the boss, but they're great people. They love amateur hockey here in St. Louis. They basically, you know, they support us so that we can support the amateur community. Make sure you check them out, nelsonlandservices.com. Nobody does better work. 5-star locally rated company with reasonable prices. Make sure you check them out. To our friends at Adam Smokehouse, we say thank you. The dinner was great today. I couldn't take it, so I also put it. That's what I was writing. You were looking at me like, what are you doing? I was writing her an order for me to take to go.
You greasy bugger.
Well, I saw the brisket burger. So
I was looking at you
home.
Writing. I was like, oh, my God, is he a horrible writer?
I wasn't writing anything.
I was ready to give you some crayons.
So, but great stuff. Again, as you heard me mention, Watson Road, folks, get down here. Contest starts today. Instagram, send us some stuff. Remember, no belly aching. Don't tell me, I don't have Instagram. Then get one, because that's how the contest works, okay? All right, pay attention. There'll be a test later, and Jamie Rivers is the teacher, so pay attention to the video coming out. Make sure you check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Happy to have you guys subscribe to the show there, which we ask everybody to do. You can find us on Twitter at STO Blues Podcast, and of course, as we mentioned, on Instagram at bluesnhlpodcast. We're always looking for more followers on Facebook, bluesnhlpodcast there as well. You heard me talk about Dennis Minner. You heard us talk about our Live from Minner Arena segment, which we will be doing shortly. We now will go live to Minner Arena.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena. Give me a follow on Twitter at Minner Arena and take a look at some of my hot takes on Blues hockey from a fan's perspective. But here's the cool thing. I am brought to you by the one and only Adam Smokehouse, absolutely the best barbecue in all of St. Louis. Has been around for over 5 years now, which is unbelievable for a barbecue place here in this competitive city. But you've got to go check them out. Ask for Mike. Let him know that Dennis from Minner Arena sent you down there. And I tell you what, you will not be sorry. If you don't like their food, you let me know, and we'll figure out a way to hook you back up. So, hey, I wanted to hit this real quick because this just came out on Twitter today. That it looks like the Blues have dodged another bullet again. Laterra has totally blown it. Get it? Blown it. Cocaine. Ha ha. Anyway, he has been let go by the Flyers. He's been placed on waivers. Really don't think we're going to see anyone pick up Laterra, but you know what? You never, ever, ever know. What a crazy story. I mean, that we had a drug lord on our team and that he's being convicted for that. So, but you know what? What's even crazier is, man, if I could go back and listen to some of my recordings from a month and a half ago, I was literally ready to just tie a rope around this season and choke it out. I mean, but here we are. Blues have won 3 in a row, 4 of their last 5, 1 point out of the playoffs right now. With multiple games in hand, Binnington is playing insane, 7-1-1. Tarasenko has come back from out of nowhere, playing unbelievable offensive and defensively. We've got Dunn scoring goals. We've got Sonny that's just over the top. We've got a rut. Guys, I don't know what's going on, but here's what I do know. Tonight, we've got Tampa. Saturday, we've got Nashville, and Sunday, we've got Nashville. So I think we're really, really going to see the true test of what this team is capable of. I think these next 3 games, I think, are going to be very, very telling. But, man, isn't it exciting, though, that here we are, that we're all getting our hopes up again. And I know I've used this analogy before, but man, there was this girl in high school that I just had the hots for, and I would start to date her, and she would cheat on me, break my heart, and then she would sucker me back in not a week later, and I would, you know, be dating her, and then she would turn into it. And she did it over and over, and she continued to break my heart, but for whatever reason, I continued to go back to her. I am so tired of the Blues breaking my heart. I want this to be real, but I got to be honest with you. I'm really holding back a little bit. I'm excited. I love to see the trend, but I am not going to start doing cartwheels just as of yet. Hopefully next week you'll hear me singing a different tune, but I'm still going to hold my breath a little bit. Really want to see if Schwartz wakes up. I don't know what's going on with Fabry. He's, been a healthy scratch for over half these games. But you know what I do want to end tonight with is that Nashville sucks. I'm beyond ready to see their mustard crap green uniforms in Enterprise Center just so I can boo from Section 307 like I always do. And I tell you an interesting story. I was at Disney World this past week and saw a guy walking towards me in one of the stores that had a Blackhawks sweatshirt on. And, you know, I couldn't resist but take a little jab and say, "Let's go Blues." And he just laughed and he said, "Yeah, yeah." And he said, "But at least we're not the Predators." And you know what? I sat there and bonded with a Blackhawks fan over our hatred for the Predators, and it wasn't so much the team, it went back to the fans and just the obnoxious nature. And but I gotta be honest with you, I hope we mop the floor with those guys Saturday and Sunday. We've got some exciting contests going on and getting ready with the crew, and we're gonna have some special guests, so keep checking back with the podcast to see what's going on with that. I'm really excited to have Jamie and Darren and Jim come back over to do their yearly Live from Inner Arena show, and really excited. But hey, like I said, come see me Saturday. Say hey. You never know. You'll be on the next Live from Inner Arena segment, like Leah was last week, week before last. So again, go check out Adam Smokehouse. Follow them on Twitter, at Adam Smokehouse. They will tempt you every day with their unbelievable food that they're posting. They do takeout, delivery. They do it all. But go check them out. Tell Mike we said hey. And again, go check out Minner Arena. It's at Minner Arena on Twitter. And until next week, guys, let's go Blues.
Good stuff as always. And again, I look forward to this contest. I'm gonna, we'll be saving up belly space to make sure we can sample a little bit of everything. But it's gonna be a great time, and we do appreciate Dennis and everything he does for us with his live from Inter Arena segment. That's gonna do it for us here at Blues NHL Podcast. Sorry that we weren't with you guys for about a week, but we're back. We're gonna be better than ever, and look for all the new stuff that we got going for all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.